On this episode, we discuss The Boy.
Let's hear it for The Boy. The movie.
Welcome to the Flophouse. I'm Dan McCoy.
My name is Stuart Lenton Wellington.
Lenton?
Yeah, that's my middle name.
Your middle name is Lenton?
Yeah, you didn't know my middle name?
No, I knew it started with L, but I didn't know what it was.
What do you think it was?
Larry Lou. Stu Larry Lou Wellington.
Nope, Stuart Lenton Wellington. It's a family name.
Oh, okay. And this is Elliot Kalin with a slight cold back. Uh-huh. From not being on an episode.
Mm-hmm,
so everyone can hold their horses. We haven't broken up. I haven't left. I'm still here.
Why would you be the one who left? Maybe we like kicked you out.
Yeah, man.
No, that's not happening.
Make sure that you're the breakout star of the show.
Yeah, like you're like, there's only water enough for one of us, so I'll leave you guys in the desert. Wait, you're the Justin Timberlake?
No, I'm being Elliot now.
Because Justin Timberlake is very successful.
He's incredibly successful.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying.
Dan,
why don't
really...
you like Justin Timberlake,
yeah,
Dan?
Yeah, he can dance, he can sing, he's a great comedian.
Oh,
he's
brother.
He can act, he's
I think
handsome.
That's four things, so he's a quadruple threat.
He can do it both ways. He can be casual and dressed up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I thought you meant regular and doggy.
Yeah. The other version's just regular.
Regular.
Like, man, do you mind if we just do a regular tonight?
Yeah.
I'm Dan.
You're ordering it at the window and you say... I'll have it regular.
Sure.
At the sex burger drive-thru?
Sex window.
I'll have a regular.
Yep.
No sauce. What does that mean?
This is a nice punch-up for your Black Mirror episode. What if sex was fast food?
Yeah, so we watched a horror movie tonight.
But what do we do on this podcast, Dan? For people who are just starting today, never heard an episode of the Flop House before.
Well, they've turned the episode
off. Like,
I
love this Viceland show. About whatever it's about. I'm going to check out the podcast.
Oh, come on.
We actually met one of those guys, and he was really nice, Elliot. Did we tell you that story?
You did. He sounds very nice.
Mm-hmm.
So what do we do on this podcast?
It's a podcast where we watch it back.
Established.
Sure.
Yeah. We're treading water right now.
We're keeping it tight, Dan.
Tight and taut. Come on, like we talked about.
We watch a bad movie,
mm-hmm.
and then we talk about it.
Yep.
And what movie did we watch?
We watched a horror movie. Which is usually confined to the month of Shocktober.
Normally, yeah.
But it has escaped its bounds like a vengeful spirit and made us watch The Boy.
Now, is this The Boy?
By vengeful spirit, the vengeful spirit was me because I said, I want to watch The Boy. And when other people were like, you know, that movie was kind of successful financially and... Not a terrible critical flop. You could just watch it for funzos and I'm like... Dude, I don't have the time. I'm busy as a beaver in a wood factory.
A little known aphorism.
You don't have the time, so you're turning the flop house into your leisure activity? This is a serious job, Stuart. This
I know.
Is work.
Yep. Normally, it takes me a full 40 minutes to get into character, the Stuart character that you guys have come to know and love. Where I...
What do you do, Stu? What's your process?
For anyone who's just listening for the first time, Stu's character is kind of the ultimate party dude.
Yeah. So
he's rude and he's got tune.
I put on my overalls two legs at a time.
Jump into them?
And then I comb my hair.
But one of the overall straps you undo.
It depends on if it's formal evening or not. Well, since we're recording an episode of a podcast, it's always formal.
Yeah, a little slingshot hanging out of the back pocket of those overalls.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And in the other pocket, a bunch of peanut M&Ms to use in that slingshot. So when people are having a bad day, I just shoot one of those in their mouth.
But to make their day worse, to kill them? So they choke on a peanut M&M?
Especially if they got a peanut allergy.
Yeah, I say, choke that one down with a smile. That's my new catchphrase.
Choke that one down with a smile. That's the new peanut M&M slogan.
Yep.
M&Ms, choke that one down with a smile.
Yeah, you know those talking things that people eat in the commercials?
M&M's.
Yeah. Oh, you know the big one that's kind of the dumb guy because I guess he's fat?
Yeah, I don't know who does his voice. I think Billy West does the other one.
Well,
he does.
Well, red M&M choke that guy down with a smile.
Okay, now we watched this movie, The Boy. Did we watch the 2015 horror movie, The Boy?
No.
We watched the 2016. Oh, it's 2013. Yes. Watch the 2016 Horror Movie The Boy, directed by William Brent
Bell.
What's
the difference? You started reading the Wikipedia episode of 2015.
It turns out they're not actually as different as it seems. The 2015 one is about a young boy with a who has lost his mother, and his dad has checked out of reality, and so the boy is like a budding serial killer.
Hmm.
Whereas this one is the one directed by William Brent Bell, who also directed Flophouse Fave, The Devil Inside.
Oh,
and by
man,
Fave,
huge
I mean We Hate
movie,
It.
Yeah.
Oh, enormous. That was, again, a huge success.
The only movie I've ever seen where instead of giving you the ending of the movie, they say, go check out this website for more information.
Oh, shit. That's that one.
Yeah. That must be the least visited website in the history of the internet. Even less visited than, unfortunately, penguinfarts.com. One of my many venues.
Dan, I'm surprised you don't remember because we were interviewed. What are you doing, Elliot?
Sorry, I dropped a metal coaster. A roller coaster.
What? Not an original wooden coaster?
No, metal one.
Man, I don't care for these metal coasters like King Deca, Nitro, I don't know, some
Medusa,
other ones. Medusa, sure.
Great American Scream
Machine.
Batman
the Ride.
Yep.
Yeah,
Joker's
Batman the
Adventure.
Ride. Yeah, Joker's Adventure.
Don't forget Green Lantern.
That's the name of the roller coaster is Don't Forget Green Lantern.
When are they going to make Batman the Ride the movie, guys? That's what I want to know.
I mean,
that property's out there. And
yeah, I mean, all those other super successful roller coaster based movies.
Yeah.
I mean, there's plenty of successful theme park ride based movies. Pirates of the Caribbean, Pirates of the Caribbean 2, Pirates of the Caribbean 3.
Country Bears.
It's a Small World, the movie. That's the one where the world is shrinking and a bunch of kids from around the world have to stop it. And also that French kid who sings the It's Christmas, Saint Noel song.
Mr. Toad's Wild Ride turned into 50 Shades of Grey.
Yep.
It's a loose adaptation.
So The Devil Inside was a different movie. We were interviewed about it on the
Planet Money.
A planet made entirely
planet
of money.
They
took our interview and were like, these guys
put
are idiots.
Throw it in the garbage. And it is
that's what they did with my audio.
That's true. You did not appear in it. But
I think I just have like...
You can
like,
feel my presence.
Yeah, exactly. Much like the presence of the boy. Yes, Stuart?
They just use my, like, dumb guffaw in the background, my, like, Ed McMahon hype man laugh.
But that was what made the soundbite.
That's true.
Now, The Boy. Let's talk about it, shall we? This is a horrible film.
It's full of horror,
It's full of horror and terror.
So the movie opens with a smash cut. Media res.
Nope. It opens quite
a girl riding
delicately.
In a car.
There's a girl named Greta, who's played by someone from The Walking Dead. Let's call her T.W. Dead.
Mm-hmm.
And as her real name. And she's from Montana. She's fleeing an abusive relationship with a guy named Cole. Ladies, let me just stop right there. If you meet a guy named Cole, do not date him.
Yeah, unless he is Grifter from Wildcats.
Or Cole Hauser, the actor. And even then, I'm not totally sold on him.
Yeah.
If his name is Cole,
in order of dateable Coles, you have Cole Hauser. He's in the middle. Up above him, you have Cole Cash from Wildcats, a.k.a.
Sure.
Grifter.
And below that, Cole Slaw. If it is like a bunch of mayonnaise-y cabbage slices, go ahead. Knock yourself out. Eat it up.
Eat that man like he's Pizza the Hut.
What about like a ranch hand named Cole with a cigarette dangling from his lips?
No.
Nope. Check the categories,
Dan. You're not going to be able to tame him. And he doesn't fit into one of those categories. Right. Cole is a bad news name. It's right up there with like Slade. If you meet a guy named Slade or a guy named Python, do not date them. If you meet a guy named Viper or a guy named Sharktooth, don't date them.
Yeah. Once again, you're living in Adventures in Babysitting, probably.
If you meet a guy
just
named...
Just get in the jazz band club or whatever and play the blues.
If you meet a guy named Cole Sladetooth, I don't care how charming he is on the first date.
Yeah.
By the fifth date, he will be chasing you through an abandoned house with a hammer in his hand, shouting, bedtime, bedtime, or something
that. That's an interesting direction that you went with him, that he's like a weird, like... Serial killer person instead of just an abusive boyfriend person.
Oh, no. He'll most likely be somewhere in between.
Yeah,
you
want a guy who can be both, right?
you want a man who can do both.
A serial killer in the sheets and an abusive boyfriend in the
streets. Yep. That's the worst of all worlds. Yeah. So Greta is taking a job at an English manor house. She's from Montana. She's an American, y'all. Mm-hmm. And she's never been to England before. She's never even met an English person before.
No.
And she's taking a job as the au pair slash nanny slash governess of
She's pulling a reverse Mary Poppins.
In that she's not made of magic.
That she's a non-magical American nanny.
And then the boy has possibly some magical properties, I guess. Mm-hmm. More of a Mary Floppins, if you will. Anywho.
I won't.
She's taking this job, and she finds herself at first in a house that appears to be abandoned until a plucky young grocer named, Wallace, something like that.
William Wallace
tells her that freedom is important. But anyway, he, who's this charming young grocer, says, oh, I come here once a week to this kind of isolated country house to slide up the groceries. You're going to be taking care of Brahms? Oh, he's the kid here. Then the parents show up. And
but even before that, like, he explains that she's going to be taking care of Brahms, and then he's like, I'm not going to go into that. Instead, I'm going to tell you about how I'm a fucking psychic by reading people's chewing gum.
He's being charming.
He's doing a little,
he's doing a little, what I would call the flirtato, which is like a flirtatious potato.
And the best way to flirt with a lady is to get her spittle all over your hands in the form of chewing gum.
It shows that you're not afraid of intimacy, Dan.
Yeah.
Because what's more
intimate? Germs.
Or, yeah, exactly. What, we might as well have sex. I've already got your germs on my hands.
Yep.
What lady could say no to that logic?
Yeah, it's basically a Crazy Town song.
The parents show up, and there's something a little off about them, and it soon turns out that Brahms is actually a ceramic doll that the parents seem to be convinced is a live boy. And they give her all these rules. You got to play with him. You can't leave him alone. You got to make him meals. You got to kiss him, tuck him in goodnight. You got to dress him in his PJs. Then you got to dress him in his clothes. You got
to make sure to empty out the rat traps.
You can't waste food.
You might get rats in the walls if you don't empty out them rat traps.
And it's not going to be fun like the Lovecraft story Rats in the Walls, where there's some kind of unspeakable horror scratching away between dimensions. Lovecraft was, they used to tout him as Laugh a Minute Lovecraft.
Yep.
You'll chuckle. Your sides will split.
You're going to love his craft.
Hilarious person, Lovecraft.
That was his name, yeah. Indescribably funny, they would say. These cyclopean jokes.
Yep.
Anyway.
A lot of racist jokes, though. A lot of racist stuff.
It would not stand up today.
You got to understand, at the time,
he was still pretty racist.
Yeah. But he had a thing with his mom where he stayed at home.
Speaking of staying at home, so Brahms is going to stay there. Greta's going to stay there with Brahms.
Yeah, Brahms is staying there. He's a fucking
he's
doll.
A doll. He's not going anywhere. He's a creepy looking doll with, like, very pale skin. Mm-hmm. It's like, you imagine this is like Tim Burton's My Buddy doll from when he was a kid.
Yep.
Like just a creepy, spooky little doll.
Mm-hmm. Or his wrestling buddy.
Yeah, possibly, sure. His real life wrestling buddy today.
Mm-hmm.
He always wins. The parents leave. It's been so long since we went on a holiday. Bye-bye, ta-ta, la-la-la-la. Be sure to play Brahms' music very loud. He loves his music. And Greta's like, these people are crazy, but they're going to pay me a bunch of money to watch a doll. This is the life, just like that Weird Al song.
Suspiciously sad for people going on a holiday.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're sad because they're leaving their little baby boy Brahms, dude.
I felt that way when I've left Sammy behind. Sammy, the doll that I pretend is a baby, that is.
Yeah, we've been meaning to talk to you about that.
What? Oh, no, you know he's a doll.
Okay.
It's so much easier to take care of than a real baby. Sometimes I just forget I have a baby for days on end.
Yeah, and porcelain is way easier to clean up when it gets poop all over it.
Yeah, and it's my poop, so it's like, I got no one to blame but myself. I can't get mad about
it. Yeah, and your poop's super easy to clean up.
Yeah, because of what
I
eat.
Know that.
I have a diet of mostly clean foods. Makes it very easy to clean up later.
Yeah, mainly voles.
Most of it comes out in my pellets that I cough up.
I eat various soaps, decorative soaps. Just to make sure my poop's the cleanest it can be.
I get soaps shaped like food.
Yeah.
Because really, all your stomach understands is shape. It's all about texture.
Your stomach is blind. I mean, come on.
It can't see the food. It can't smell it. Your stomach doesn't have a nose.
Eyes are the window to the stomach. Am I right?
Your head is designed wrong. Unfortunately, Greta is like, I'm just going to put this doll in a corner with a blanket over it.
Yeah, like a normal person.
And I'm going to, Malcolm, that's the guy. I'm going to flirt with
you
Malcolm.
You leave your normal person sitting in a chair with a blanket over it.
Yeah, and she goes, I'm going to go on a date with Malcolm. She's taking a shower, and while she's in the shower, strange things are happening. Her dress disappears.
Her necklace
disappears, and she finds that the attic, which she couldn't open before, is now open. in her towel, she creeps up with a whale harpoon in her hand that was leaning against the wall, and the door slams shut. She's trapped in the attic. Ah, she misses her date. Ah, and she gets scared by something and falls and knocks herself out.
Now, if I see an attic door open, I'm just going to leave that towel on, you know? Because, like, that towel is way thicker than any clothes she would probably be wearing.
Yeah, why change
the
clothes?
That's like fucking body armor, dude.
Why close the attic and leave when you can go investigate? Because you're one of the Mystery Machine gang. She finds.
Is that a bunch of robots that solve mysteries?
Yeah, let's just say it's more. That's more interesting than what it actually is. So yes, but weird things start happening around the place. A peanut butter jelly sandwich appears for her. There are weird phone calls from a child's voice, and she's like, she sees the doll's legs walking underneath the crack in the door under her bedroom door. It's like ah. And meanwhile,
there's like shadows that appear behind her.
There's shadows and like creepy stuff and creaks and all sorts. Like there's something in the house with her. And you think it's a ghost because it's doing lots of ghost stuff.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, this is something that she doesn't learn until later, but the movie decides to tell us now for purposes of suspense. The parents have left a goodbye letter for Brahms, and then they fill their pockets with rocks, rock pockets, we call them, and then just walk into the ocean until they're drowned and dead.
Yep. They try to walk on the water, step on the shore. Flesh becomes water. Wood becomes bone.
What is this?
Toad the Wet Sprocket, dog. My favorite band.
Really?
Yeah, couldn't you tell from the way I sang that song?
As if you were feeling through a dark room for a light switch that wasn't there? Yeah. That was excellently done. So Greta starts to believe there's a ghost around here, and she kind of gets Malcolm to believe it too. She invites him over, and she shows him that the doll, when they leave the room, moves to somewhere else. Ah! And Malcolm says, when this kid was alive, it turns out the son had died. They had a real son. He died years ago.
Yeah, now they really think it's a ghost. Fire.
In a fire. Before he died in this fire, he had a playmate over. Some little girl had a playdate with him, and she was found in the forest with her skull crushed. And before this odd kid could be investigated, there was a fire and he died. And now they think that the ghost is in there. Bump, bump, bum. And
ghosts like to live in dolls.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's comfortable.
Look at fucking Chucky, man.
Yeah. And Annabelle.
Annabelle, yeah.
Which one was Annabelle from?
From The Conjuring.
And the spinoff movie Annabelle.
Yeah.
Annabelle Rising.
Annabelle Lecter.
But I don't want to hear one more fucking word about Hannibal Rising.
I'm just saying it's the undiscovered gem of the Hannibal series.
Elliot,
finally, we know his backstory.
I will give you $500 if you can tell me who played Hannibal Lecter in fucking Hannibal Rising.
It was.
Without using your phone.
His name was Hannibal the actor. No, who was it?
I don't even remember anymore.
He was just some young guy.
Stuart's very bitter about this because we did the pub quiz at Max FunCon, led by Mr. John Hodgman and Chuck
Bryan. And it was
Bryan
the one thing I should be able to do.
And we had to list the four actors who have played Hannibal Lecter.
Oh, you can only do three of them.
Yeah.
Mads, of course, the best. Anthony Hopkins and Stryker.
Yep, Stryker. Thank you. Yeah, that's how he likes his family to refer to him.
That X-Men 2 was really where he felt like he came into his own. So he likes to
Brian Cox's family's like, Dad. He's like, don't call me Dad. Call me Stryker.
Call me Stryker. I forgot his name was Brian Cox, which is strange since I've seen him in a play. We don't have to talk about that. It was called Rock and Roll. It's Tom Stoppard play. Anyway, so they're convinced there's a ghost around here, and everything seems to be kind of fine. She follows the rules. She plays with this doll. The ghost is happy. They're kind of a family now. And she reveals that she has this boyfriend, Cole, who she had to get away from, who's kind of abusive. She had become impressed.
Gaspar Ulio is who played Hannibal.
Ulio?
Yeah, it's something like that. Gaspar Ulio or something.
It sounds like the French waiter in a cartoon for kids.
It sounds like the full name of a horror host who goes by Ghoulio.
I could see that. Or Ghoulio would also be Coolio on Halloween.
Yep, it's when the Ghoulio's Italian cousin come to visit them at college.
Coolio is what Coolio's name would be in the credits of a Simpsons Halloween episode.
That's right.
If he was like an animation supervisor on The Simpsons. There's some alternate universe where instead Coolio's of becoming a famous rapper, yeah, he's an animation supervisor for Film Roman.
I like that.
And he's just named Coolio in the credits.
Version of reality, even though he works at a cartoon show, he still calls himself Coolio normally.
Sure. That was his birth name.
Yeah.
Jerry Coolio.
Well, if it's his last name, it's much more believable.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
So everything.
Coolio Jones.
And Greta believes. Coolio Jones. Greta believes that because she was pregnant and had a miscarriage, that this mother, she was meant to take care of this ghost child. And so everything's going to be okay.
Everything happens for a reason, blah, blah, blah.
Until Cole shows up. Bump, bump, bump.
Cole Hauser, the actor?
No, we wish.
Okay.
It's Cole, her ex-boyfriend, who is just as...
Cole, the the Rock?
Wait.
No, spelled differently. If it was Cole the Rock, they'd be like, great, this would be useful for warming the house.
Mm-hmm. Or giving bad children, like Brahms, for Christmas.
Yeah.
Just kidding, he's a great kid.
Now, here's the thing I'm going to talk about before we get to Cole's entry, because we're already in Act 3 of this movie. There's not a lot of plot in this movie. For most of this movie, I think we're supposed to sympathize with Greta because she's scared and doesn't know what to do. She's just a normal young American out on the town.
Mm-hmm.
She was hired to do a job, take care of this child doll, and she does not do it for a while. And as is his right as the employer, Brahms complains in the only form he knows how, locking her in the attic and
giving her peanut butter sandwiches.
And giving her peanut butter jelly sandwiches. And you know what? Lesson learned. She does her job. So take that, millennials. If someone pays you to do something, you give it 110% so that ghost is happy.
She's like, oh no, I'm bored. I can't get internet service. Well, do your job, dude.
Hey, you
know
what?
Your job is never boring.
Exactly. You know what makes a job most interesting? When you do it with enthusiasm and you give 110%.
Yeah.
Because you're the one making that job boring. The job's not boring. You got to find your joy in the work. You got to love the work.
Yeah. Have you cleaned out all the traps outside and made sure there's no rats in them?
Because here's what you can do. Oh, gross. I don't want to clean traps full of rats. Hey, there's 17 traps around this house. Let's see how many rats we can collect in them. Let's see how fast we can clean them out. Make a little game out of it, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Pretend
you're, I don't know, a member of the Cleveland Basketball Stars.
who just won the Super Dunk.
I don't know. And you're trying to dribble the most dead rats out of traps.
You don't want to give Brahms his bath because he's just a doll. You know what? Use your imagination. Maybe Brahms isn't a doll taking a bath. Maybe he's in a submarine.
Yeah,
you're the captain.
And I got to tell you, you might not want to give Brahms a bath. He is way more embarrassed than you are.
Yeah.
He doesn't want you to see his little porcelain weenie.
Because he is very anatomically correct. And circumcised.
He's terrified you're going to break that thing off the whole time.
Exactly.
Because you're washing it much too violently. Please be careful.
You're paying a little too much attention to that.
I know you're trying to get in all the crevices, but still, let's give it a rest.
Yes, I get it. It's really veiny. Some people are into that, dude.
But it's just, look, it's a work of art. Let's just take all the sexual element away from it. It's a work of human expression of the most beautiful thing in the universe, the human body.
Yeah,
human
penis. Just ask.
The human penis.
The most beautiful thing in the universe.
The least goofy piece of sexual organs, the human penis, which is essentially a droopy windsock that occasionally gets caught in a very high wind.
I'm glad you said least goofy and not least gonzo, because it reminds me of Gonzo's nose all the time.
Quite gonzo. In fact, Gonzo the Great was originally called Penis Face the Great, until Children's Television Workshop said to Jim Henson, you can't call him that. And he's like,
Jim,
you don't control me. You only do Sesame Street. This is the Muppet Show, a show for adults. And me and my new producer, Ralph Bakshi, are going to make it this way. And Ralph Bakshi's like, how do I fit more genitals into this show? Anyway.
So that's the untold story of the Muppet Show.
So the lesson of all that is, one, Gonzo's face has a penis on it.
Yep.
And not a penis shaped like an umbrella handle, like many of them are. Mm-hmm. And two, if you get a job, do the job and learn to love the job.
Yeah.
Because you know what's going to impress your employer, a ghost doll?
Uh-huh.
Doing the job.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're going to get extra, I don't know, ectoplasm for that or whatever.
Yeah, and that's something you can do with somewhere.
Yeah, it'll squirt it into a little beaker that you can, I don't know, trade at the market.
I mean, it's basically just cheesecloth that you regurgitate to bring out of your mouth.
Spray it all over a toaster and make it dance to you know.
Your love lifting me higher.
I was trying to think of the Jackie Wills.
Ghostbusters
Jackie
2.
Something.
Ghostbusters. Now, you may think they need a Ghostbuster in this movie, and Cole is the man to bust that ghost because he ain't afraid of no ghost, and clearly, busting makes him feel good. Nothing else does. He's a real sad sack.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
He likes to play pool or snooker.
Or they also call it snooker, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A word that always makes me think of Gonzo for some reason.
Okay.
So Cole is there. She's freaked out. He's like, can I stay over? He sleeps over. And while
he's
sleeping,
like, oh, cool doll.
Cool doll. What's this crap? She's like, that's Brahms. He's like, oh, whatever, babe. Oh, blah, blah, blah. And so while he's sleeping, blood drips down on him. He looks up. It says, get out, in blood above him. And he's mm-hmm. like, Greta, did you do this? Da-da-da. Malcolm, to keep an eye on the situation, has been sleeping in his car outside. Mm-hmm. Or did you
that's
do it?
Normal.
What's going on? And Greta's like, Brahms did it. And he's like, don't tell me this doll did it, this stupid doll. And he takes the doll and he smashes it. Mm-hmm. Uh-oh.
Ooh,
suddenly the walls
Brahms aren't going to like that.
No, Brahms is not going to like it.
Head explodes like it's in Scanners.
Mm-hmm.
If the guy in Scanners had smashed the other guy's head against a chair.
Yeah.
Brahms, suddenly they're shaking all over the walls. And you think, oh, they're just doing the stuff from the original The Haunted. Or The Haunting.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. Here's the big twist. Spoiler alert.
Twist
for the boy.
In this movie.
If you don't want to know the twist ending of The Boy, turn this podcast mm-hmm. off right now mm-hmm. and then do anything else because
yeah.
no one else will ever talk about the movie The Boy.
Mm-hmm.
You are safe from spoilers. Unless you type in The Boy, spoilers.
2016.
Because you might get spoilers for The Boy 2015, in which case, doesn't affect you. Who cares?
Yeah, yeah. Big twist. M. Night Shyamalan and Rod Serling, stop making out and start listening. Prick up your ears.
Because you know that new twist you've been looking for? Listen to this, holds up phone. It turns out...
It's your cousin, B. Night Shyamalan.
There's 26 of us. 26 Night Shyamalans from A to Z.
It's your cousin, Joe Henry. That's O. Henry's cousin.
Oh, okay. You know that gift you've been looking for your magi? Well, read this, because there's no audio recording technology yet.
Yeah.
Although I guess actually like the gramophone had been invented
yeah.
at that point.
Check out this
cylinder.
Wax cylinder, idiot.
Moron.
They have a weird relationship. Joe Henry and O. Henry.
Yeah. I mean, Joe Henry was always pretty mad that the candy bar he invented was named after his more famous cousin,
mm-hmm.
O. And O. Henry was mad that his book, The Story of O, didn't have a twist ending. It was just his real-life sexual exploits. He couldn't think of a twist for it. What's that book? Isn't it a James Thurber book where the letter O?
The Story of O? No,
yeah,
right.
It's not. No. The drawings James Thurber did for The Story of O are very disturbing. Just these lumpy, bald men and women becoming sex slaves to each other.
Yeah.
And there's a dog in there for some reason. Anyway.
It's a seal.
So the wall starts shaking. The whole place
starts quaking.
The earth starts quaking.
My mind was aching.
Your brain starts shaking, just like in that Size Noodle song.
Mm-hmm.
And... you think there's a ghost that's about to tear the house down. No, wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Something bursts through the wall. It's Brahms.
What?
He didn't die in the fire. He's not a ghost. He is a grown man wearing a little ceramic boy face mask over a very full beard, which mm-hmm. is really cool, creepy effect,
yeah.
who has been living in the walls of this house for decades, being fed and taken care of by his parents. And they left finally because they couldn't bear to take care of this monster anymore. And they tricked this girl into showing up to be like a sacrifice to Brahms, saying like, here, you can have her. We're going to leave now and
yeah.
kill ourselves. Out of
yeah.
guilt, shame, horror, trauma, I don't know.
Maybe they just like swimming with rocks.
Yeah, just like that Kevin yeah. Spacey movie, Swimming
yeah.
with Rocks, about how...
They just like Swimming with Rocks. They're like, see you later, we're going to go find Dory today.
Brahms chases them around the house, and this is where the movie, after having what I thought was a pretty neat twist. To be honest, I didn't see that twist coming,
mm-hmm.
that Brahms was still alive in the house and was just kind of like a crazy murder man. But here's the problem, is that when he's not supernatural, he's just a greasy guy with a mask on, and they are constantly hitting him in the head and kicking him in the face, and he falls down and they
yeah.
run away. He catches up to them, they kick him in the head again, and he falls down.
He falls down as easily as someone who has been living in a wall for all of his life would fall down.
Yeah, yeah, he doesn't get enough vitamin D.
Yeah.
That's the
for
right
Dan,
one, right? Yeah.
That's what you get from the sun,
and it's
yeah.
if they had made a point of being like... Like the delivery, if like the delivery guy had some kind of a physical ailment,
yeah, I can
like
see
maybe
that.
He had polio,
Maybe he's got a limp. I mean, polio has essentially been eradicated.
Okay, but yeah, what if he had it? Wouldn't that be an interesting twist?
I mean, he would be like 70 years old.
Yeah, so that guy would have a tough time defeating Brahms.
And also winning over this young woman from the States.
I don't know. It would be like a real...
It would take a lot of bubblegum
like
fortune-telling
Mr. Rochester
tricks. Mr. Rochester was a handsome young man. He had just because he had a crazy wife in the act doesn't mean he wasn't a catch.
Spoiler alert, which is actually kind of crazy wife is not that different from Brahms.
I guess so. And also I know by saying crazy wife, I'm looking at through the lens of a white imperialist colonialist.
Mm-hmm.
From her point of view, she's just trying to get back home.
Thanks for checking your privilege, Elliot.
I appreciate it. And
how is your privilege?
Oh, it's very nice. Thank you. Oh, or did you mean Rochester, Jack Benny's assistant on the Jack Benny show?
Wondering.
Because nope. He's also a catch. He was in movies, TV, the radio, like a 40, 50-year career. Anyway.
Very successful.
Brahms chases after them. They find his evidence basement.
He kills Cole.
He
kills the first person you should kill in any kind of a situation.
Which is Cole. I mean, at this point, Brahms is the hero of the film.
Yeah.
He has been a great manager.
Yeah.
He got Greta to do the job he needed her to do just through like a little spooky stuff, not through yelling at her, not through docking her pay, just psychological management. Like that's good management.
A little bit of negative reinforcement, but a ton of positive reinforcement.
Yeah, that's true. She got a little bit of, hey, you're not doing the job. I'm going to call you and I'm going to talk to you in a baby voice over the phone.
Yeah.
You're doing the job. You know what?
Hey, college basketball's Bobby Knight. Take a lesson out of Brahms' book. Your players aren't behaving well. Give him a little PB&J sandwich.
Don't sneak around in the walls a little bit.
Don't throw a chair at him. Give him a sandwich. Go to the walls and wait for them to do the job of playing b-ball, which could also mean baseball, but it doesn't. It always means basketball.
Mm-hmm.
People say base B when they mean baseball. That's how you tell the difference. Brahms chases them around for a while.
Yeah, when I say, I want to watch that Tom Selleck movie, Mr. Base B. You're like, wait, is he like an English gentleman? You're like, no, he's a base B player.
Quite the opposite. He is an American lout who is having trouble with all these Japanese social customs.
It's the story of Base B Berkeley.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the greatest choreographer in Hollywood history. So Greta escapes, but Malcolm gets beat up. Greta goes back with a screwdriver, and she tricks Brahms. He's about to attack her, and she goes, Brahms, it's bedtime. I said it's time for bed. And he gets into bed, and she is forced to give him his goodnight kiss on his mask.
And he's all about it.
And he is grabbing her too much, and she stabs him with the screwdriver and eventually kills him after almost getting killed by him.
Yep.
And she and Malcolm, who's still alive, escape.
Mm-hmm.
And last we see is Brahms repairing his doll. He survived. And the doll has survived.
We see somebody repairing the doll.
Yeah,
it could
maybe
be
it's Cole.
Cole, yeah.
Or maybe it's
Cole's
the actual.
The new
maybe it's
boy.
The ghost who was living in the house the whole time, but felt like he couldn't show himself because Brahms was sucking up all the oxygen with his antics.
That's probably it.
So that's the story of the boy.
Let's hear it for the boy story.
So I got a lot of stuff to talk about. So when I thought I was about to watch a movie with a doll man in it, I'm like, where's Brick Bardo?
Where are the demonic
doll man
toys?
Himself, yeah. Where's the demonic toys? Where are the creations of mad inventor Andre Toulon?
Now, Stuart, you really wanted to watch this movie. What were your expectations, and were those expectations met, exceeded, or disappointed?
So I want to watch this movie. And to be honest, I kind of knew the twist already.
What?
I think somebody had spoiled it on some social
media.
There's
no point in watching this movie.
That's why we ruined it for all these people.
Because I thought it would be a fun, stupid movie to talk about and watch with you guys, because you're my best friends.
Aw.
That's very sweet.
But as far as meeting my expectations were met. I was not expecting a second act that was a lot of Greta, like, carrying around Brahms and treating him like a little baby boy. That was great. I love that. And I wish that they had made Brahms scarier at the end. He was really interesting to look at, but he didn't have enough. I expected him to have weapons. You know, if you have a masked, crazy, strong guy, you expect them to have a menagerie of killing implements.
He should have like boy themed weapons, like a really big rattle.
Boys carry rattles around.
Or a lolly.
You're not a parent, are you?
A lolly that he stuffs down people's throats.
Yep, he puts a propeller beanie on his head and he cuts people up like it's a lawnmower
Let's
blade.
Let's say it's more like it's a toy truck.
All right.
That has, maybe it's like a toy digger or a crane or something, and it's got spikes on it so he like can stab people with it.
Or just a giant digger thing.
Yeah, or it's a real truck. I found it was one of those things where I thought the twist when it first was shown was a pretty good twist. I was like, I didn't see that coming. And you know what? That's a neat twist, and it explains everything, I guess. I still don't know. I guess they had two phone lines in the house. That's the only thing that kind of bugged me. But then once it was revealed, it was like, oh, it's going to be a lot easier for them to escape this than it would be to escape a ghost.
Yeah, as far as the twist goes, there was a there's a previous Stuart Flophouse movie recommendation that I'm not going to mention because I don't want to ruin the twist of that movie you should watch.
Culver.
But that movie managed to introduce the twist and then continue making it interesting and scary despite the fact that, like, the big twist has been revealed.
Yeah. I would say that's compared to, like, The Devil Inside, this was a it was not a
it's
particularly
a big leap forward.
Yeah, like, not a particularly good movie, but much better.
There I think a couple we're in it. We should go to Final Judgments.
Oh, sure, okay. Final Judgments.
Whether this is a good, bad movie. A bad, bad movie, or a movie you kind of liked. What were you saying, Elliot? You can
I'm gonna put this a probationary movie I kind of liked. In that it wasn't good, bad, and it wasn't bad, bad. It was like, I wish it was, it was good enough that I wished it was better than it was.
Yeah.
There's a couple of good jump scares in it. It gets really slow and dull in the second act.
But when, that's the stuff I liked when she's caring for the boy.
Oh, I love that stuff. I just wish it was more interesting than it was.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just kind of like... like a blah, like mediocre movie.
Maybe if they played up more her like her motherhood issues stemming from her miscarriage or something.
Yeah, like I wish the movie had for a movie that should be super creepy. It was not as creepy as it.
Yeah,
I kind of liked it too. It was an hour 40. It probably should have been an hour 20. Like it was an 80-minute movie. I would have liked it a lot.
Yeah, me too. 80-minute movies are the best.
Yeah, make it 20 minutes. 20-minute movie. Make
a sitcom. Come on, Peter Jackson, give me a 20-minute movie.
But it like it wasn't. I wouldn't recommend it, but I wouldn't be like, "What a piece of garbage!" It was like it was better than I thought it was going to be, considering it is about. I thought it was going to be about a ghost doll.
The Way of the Samurai.
And frankly, it would have been a better movie if there was no supernatural stuff in it. If it was like,
I mean, there wasn't any supernatural stuff.
But
in
I mean, no like. Out of the ordinary fantastic elements, like a man living inside the walls of the house. If it was just this, these people have hired her to take care of this doll as if it's a child, they don't leave. They stick around, and she finds herself slowly falling under the same psychosis they're under, where this doll is becoming real to her because she's play-acting that it's real so much. Like, that would be a creepy movie to me.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's like in House of the Devil, how the first two acts are... super duper creepy because it's just a woman like walking around a creepy old house.
Yeah, and the first time you see that shadow move under that door and you know there's someone else in the house, that's just one of the scariest moments of any movie, I think. But it's like, I would have rather, and then like she and the parents would get into a fight over who gets to have this child because she feels like the mother of the child. Okay, that's the movie I'm going to do. I'm going to call it The Boy because there's already like a dozen movies called The Boy, so that title is up for grabs.
Yeah.
You'll call it The Boy, The Next Generation.
I mean, that title's
sequel or
that title's up for grabs.
And
I guess.
He's on the Enterprise with Jean-Luc, and not Jean-Luc Picard, Jean-Luc the waiter from the tea commercial.
Oh, sure, Jean-Luc.
Or was it a coffee commercial?
I don't know, man.
But the thing is, Jean-Luc is still going to say "Make it so," right?
Oh, of course. But he's talking about actual sewing. He's talking about a sewing machine that's broken, and he takes it to the fix-it shop, and he goes, "Make it so."
Okay.
Where are we right now?
You're in the minority corner. Haven't you been here before?
You know what? I think I have.
Because you're a woman.
And you're a gay man.
And
we're both black.
And now that we're here in the minority corner, what should we talk about?
How about race, gender, and sexuality?
Ooh, and we can gossip about celebrities, and I can quiz you on pop culture.
Ooh, and we can have guests.
We're going to learn, laugh, and play.
You know, that sounds a lot like Blue's Clues.
Only it's more black, gay,
and ladylike.
Minority Corner with the K.
Check us out.
Because the C was taken.
Tonight, our episode is sponsored in part by Blue Apron, the service that helps you cook delicious meals at home.
Mm-hmm.
It knows that when you cook with incredible ingredients, you make incredible meals.
Mm-hmm.
So they set the highest quality standards for their artisanal suppliers of ingredients, family-run farms, fisheries, and ranchers. Whether it's Japanese ramen noodles, wild-caught Alaskan salmon, or heirloom tomatoes, Blue Apron is bringing you the best. Less than $10 per meal, Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. That means they send you the ingredients.
Now, you've used this product before, right, Dan?
I have.
Uh-huh. And as a single guy, normally the best option is to just go get some food from the closest place and shovel that shit in your mouth.
Yeah. So you don't even taste it.
Yeah.
Because all it's going to taste like is bitterness.
Yeah, you're just so fucking sad. But instead...
It's getting too real right now.
But instead, Blue Apron, it's called that because you're blue, because you're so lonely.
Yeah, yeah. Da da dee da do da.
Yeah. No, you're right. The usual option is to, like, I don't know, chop up some sausages into some ramen and eat it on top of the stove.
Yeah, and by sausages, they are Boar's Head hot dogs.
What you just said is way more work than I ever did as a bachelor to eat anything. This is my bachelor meals. I'm either taking out Chinese food, and my Chinese food is usually fried chicken with rice from the Chinese takeout place. So it's not even
a taste
Chinese
of the
food.
Orient.
I mean, I'm boiling spaghetti with nothing on it, or I'm eating hot dogs without buns. That's my bachelor life.
I mean, I think the sad part
if Blue Apron had existed when I was a bachelor, I might not have dropped down to a dangerous weight.
The sad part is the part where I'm eating above the sink rather than bothering to walk into the next room to have my dinner.
Why dirty a plate, you know?
Yeah.
Just put the garbage can between your legs.
Just eat above the toilet.
But now you don't need to do that because you have Blue Apron, and they portion it out for you. Because I know when I try to cook, the thing I hate is trying to do measurements. I can't eyeball it that well. It says like a pinch of something. I don't know what that means. It drives me crazy.
Yeah, yeah. You're like my hand, Sammy's hand, Danielle's hand.
What kind of pinch? They mean
stranger.
Like some kind of crab man monster?
Mm-hmm.
But they give you just take the container and dump it in because they give you the amount you need.
Just give you a sample of some of the meals that are available in June. You got spicy Korean rice cakes with snow peas and pea shoots.
That sounds pretty good.
Sweet chili ponzu catfish and green beans with coconut ginger rice. And New England style salmon rolls with roasted potatoes and chives. And chives, guys.
Chives on top of it. Here's an idea. You say, I don't need someone to cook my food for me. Well, do you know anyone who is expecting a child? They're not going to have time to cook for themselves when that baby's born. So get them some Blue Apron meals so that they can have half of it taken care of. They don't have to shop. They don't have to measure things out. A friend of ours did that for me, a friend Justin, and it was really helpful, and I appreciate it. I don't think I ever sent him a thank you, but I should have.
You just gave him a thank you on the air.
Well, that's just even better. That's even better than a regular thank you. So thank you, Justin.
So check out this week's menu and get your two meals free.
What?
With free shipping by going to blueapron.com/flophouse. That's blueapron.com/flophouse. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
Now, normally I never allow the words slash and flophouse to exist in the same sentence, but
not
that's
anymore.
Okay.
I believe we also have a couple of messages up on the Jumbotron.
Jumbotron. So I got a message for John Warman.
Wow.
Awesome.
Man of War.
Cool it, John.
Yeah. Hey, John Warman.
It's not his fault that he has the coolest last name in the world.
Exactly.
Hey, I'm a man of peace, all right?
Mm-hmm. Well, you better get out of John Warman's way. And this is a message from Xander Boutel.
Another great name.
Mm-hmm. Now, Xander wants to say, happy birthday, John Warman. Note, pronounced to the tune of by Menon. So I think I've been doing it right.
John Warman.
As a birthday gift.
That makes me think it's not Warman. It's just like warming something up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. as a birthday
warm it
gift,
up, Chris.
Yep. Let's. You want to work out
I'm
all these goofs?
Jumbotron goofs.
Dropping some sweet bits. As a birthday gift, this show. You should be listening to it. It has a guy who lives in Brooklyn and loves beer, a hilarious know-it-all pedant who also lives in Brooklyn.
That could be either one of us.
And a long-suffering pessimist. Who sometimes hates his friends.
Oh, yeah.
This show is you. So I guess John Warman is some kind of three-headed Cerberus monster. Kind of,
we're living inside John Warman.
It's just like Identity starring John Cusack.
Or Herman's Head starring John Cusack.
Was that the movie of Herman's Head?
Yeah. Well, he can do TV.
See, that's the,
but he didn't.
That's the twist to the boy is the boy being a real person. The twist to this episode of the Flophouse is that we're inside John Warman's brain.
All this time.
Yeah.
My wife's going to be surprised.
And this is going to be fun to say. Bon anniversary, Zando. That's from Xander Boutel. Happy birthday, John Warman.
We've got another
Jumbo.
Jumbotron.
Just do mouth sounds.
Okay, this message is for Stan. You know who you are. It's from Alana.
The character from the Eminem song?
Nope. Who is this message for? Well, maybe. Stan. Who is this message from? Alana, Erky, Fufruk, Koff, Mala, and Pimder.
Okay.
And they say...
Sounds like a Motley Crue.
It's from Motley Crue. They say, whether we're infiltrating a fantasy high school, fighting a giant guitar-playing robot that transforms into a train, or just getting the shit kicked out of us in an alleyway, your quick wit, funny voices, and storytelling genius are with us all the way. Thanks for being the best DM love can buy. Bazinga. And that's for Stan from Alana, Ricky, Fruck, Koff, Mal, and Pimter. I want to thank you guys for making me say my least favorite word in the universe, and I want to thank Dan for assigning this Jumbotron message to me, because he's the one who knows that I hate that word, yeah, the B, like, word.
As I said, it's called good producing. I'm creating conflict for the purposes of drama.
I want to go on the record, if I haven't before, that Bazinga is my least favorite word. It's not real. It's a dumb catchphrase.
It means like pasta or something in Italian, right?
Who even knows? And I'll never forget the moment it first confronted me when I was walking to work past a New York souvenir shop, and in the window was a T-shirt with a picture of Jim Parsons on it that just said Bazinga in big letters underneath. And I was like, am I supposed to know what the fuck that means? If it's on a T-shirt, there's an understanding that I'm going to see someone wearing it on the street and be like, yeah, I get it, Bazinga, that, dude.
It should be about stupid team and whether or not you're with him.
Thank you, because that will warn me if the person they're with is stupid and I should avoid them.
Yeah, it should be an indicator whether or not the person you are looking at is a member of a co-ed naked volleyball team. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that
Whether they're accredited to inspect female bodies.
I don't know if that guy has a beer belly or a fuel tank for a party machine. And the shirt's got to tell me. Yeah. Which one is the man and which is the legend? This is what I need to know. T-shirts, help me out.
And I like to imagine Dan sweating over a hot keyboard where he's like, well, this message has a reference to role-playing games, so maybe I should give it to Stuart, but it does say Bazinga, so I want to totally nail Elliot to the wall.
Now, can I plug something real quick before we continue? I have been remiss. In not plugging as fully as I should on this podcast, my other podcast, a reminder to anyone who may not know, in which case it's not a reminder, it's just new information, that for Audible, your source for audiobooks, if you're an Audible member, I'm doing a series for them. It's an audio series called Presidents Are People Too with my friend and co-host Alexis Coe, author of the book Alison Freed to Forever, and soon to be a major motion picture by the director of The Babadook. And we're doing a show where...
That's what she's doing. Oh, awesome.
Every episode is about a different president, and we tell you enough about them to make them interesting. We can't cover their whole life in 25 minutes, but we're going to tell you some interesting things. So later on, when you hear their name, you're like, I know that guy called his penis Jerry. Which president called his penis Jerry? You're going to have to listen to find out. So if you're an Audible subscriber, please download Presidents Are People Too, starring me and Alexis.
Ding! And you guys have some pretty great guests.
We've got a lot of great guests, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's fun to get to hear you talk about something that you're passionate about as opposed to shitty movies.
Thank you.
Before we move on to the next part, I just want to say thanks to John Began, who turned one of our letter songs into a lovely mini musical, which I'll put on the end of this episode if I remember to do so.
Hopefully you will. Hopefully you saying it will be a shame punishment.
Yeah, it'll be one of those mnemonic devices.
It's like when you're like, if I don't lose 25 pounds by March, cut my head off. Mm-hmm. That's my New Year's resolution.
I start sharpening my kitchen shears.
Yep. Unfortunately, I made that resolution. Cheers.
Yeah, I eat big food in my kitchen. Thanks, Blue Apron.
You eat those giant ribs from the start of Flintstones.
Mm-hmm. They hadn't invented shears then. They used a fucking duck with a really sharp beak.
And he went, "Earth for living."
I also want to thank you to Edward Ross for the copy of his book, Filmish, which he sent in to us. I'll show you guys after the show. It's sort of a series of history essays about film in comic book form.
Oh, I'd like to read that.
If you, it's like an understanding comics for movies, let's say. So,
that is high praise. I'm looking forward to seeing it.
If people are interested in learning a little bit more about movies in a in a comic strip. Pick up filmish, maybe. But before we move on entirely, we should also promote our DC show.
DC.
District of Columbia.
Washington, D.C. Tickets
the capital or whatever it's called in Hunger Games.
That's mm-hmm. right. Tickets are going fast for our Washington, D.C. show.
Like hotcakes.
Mm-hmm. Like the hottest cakes. Mm-hmm.
Imagine a cake.
Uh-huh.
Now
I got
imagine,
it in my head.
It's like a birthday cake.
Uh-huh.
Now imagine there's candles on it, but the candles are like all burning, like they're all Wicker Man.
Okay.
And that cake was dipped in gasoline.
Okay.
That thing's on fire. That's yeah. the hottest cake possible.
I don't know why. Why did we make the cake this way? I don't think it's going to be edible.
It's like when you...
We don't have time for questions now.
We've got to get out of the house. Everything's burning down. Stuart.
No, just leave me behind. Let me die in this cake prison.
No. I know you always wanted to die by cake, but still.
He was too beautiful to live.
Every time you ordered death by chocolate on a like a Bennigan's menu
yep.
and you didn't die
and
afterwards,
you saw a disappointment. You saw that glassy look in my eyes when I told the waiter. I'll have the death by chocolate.
Stu, no, you've got so much to live for.
So, again, buy tickets if you would like to see us in Washington, D.C. They're on sale now.
The show is
August 5th.
That's a Friday night.
This year. Hey, Friday night. Are there any songs about Friday nights?
Not a single one.
Okay.
No,
Saturday
ever
night
done
is
anything.
All right for fighting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And also
Saturday, but it's
night.
Not on a Saturday. Just think of the old not SNL show that was on Fridays called Fridays that Andy Kaufman was thrown off the set of in that one bit.
Think of the lead character to Futurama, and if you had a day, what that day would be called.
Oh, think of Friday, Robinson Crusoe's sidekick, in the hit film His Guy Friday,
okay.
which is about he's on a deserted island that just has a newspaper, and he's got to run this newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
And they talk like a mile a minute. So we're going to be live in DC. It's the first time we'll ever be doing a show outside of the New York area. So come watch us be disoriented by how people's accents sound different, and they don't have pizza.
Yeah, how they put toppings on their hot dog with I don't know tongs or something.
What? I don't get it. And perhaps. Should we say we're going to have some special guests, the ghosts of all the former presidents?
That's right. They're all going to be there.
You can't see them or hear them, but they'll be there.
And Flophouse listeners, here's an exclusive. Dan, what movie are we going to watch?
Go fuck yourself. We haven't decided.
Oh, man, I thought maybe with a little bit of pressure you would have pulled some gold out of your head.
Doing a promo spot is like being a defense attorney. You never ask a question you don't know the answer to.
But
Washington, D.C., August 5th, tickets on sale now, and they're going fast, so pick them up.
Now that we've done our business, it's time to get on to the exciting part, letters from listeners like you.
You wrote us some letters. You wrote us a lot of letters. Lotters, letters and lotters. Lottery letters. Letters for Lotto. Letta Leno. Jay Leno Leno. Letters, lotters, ladders, loaders. Letters and leaders and loaders and lotters and logs from you.
That was
wow, nice and
maybe
tight.
The most free associative one ever. And that's saying a lot.
I didn't even understand what was going on half of it.
All right, so this is a handwritten letter.
Wow.
Is it from Brahms' parents?
It's from David, last name withheld, not Elliot's brother.
Thank goodness.
He makes it clear. It says, hello, Peaches. As a thank you for the many hours of free, he has an asterisk here, I'm a Max Fund donor, but the point still stands, free entertainment you've provided me over the years.
Thanks for donating to Max Fund.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'm sending you the enclosed gifts for Stuart, my favorite Star Wars movie in Marvel Comics form, and a copy of Noel Stevenson's Pneumonia.
Oh, cool.
I promise to stop tweeting at you about it now. So let me...
I know David. Okay, cool. I know which David this is.
Is it my brother?
It is not your brother.
Okay, good.
Oh, that's great. Go. Awesome.
And also...
Awesome.
A little paperback edition.
I'm going to enjoy these.
For Elliot, the original motion picture soundtrack of Fiddler on the Roof. I know you don't have a record player, so I framed it.
Oh, that's very nice. Thank you. Finally, a gift my wife will appreciate.
And an excellent documentary about the doomed production of Richard Williams is the thief and the cobbler.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much. That's awesome.
You know, Elliot might have a record player.
Take a bag with you.
And it's the motion picture soundtrack, which is the one my wife is familiar with. I grew up with the Broadway cast album.
Yeah, you'd have a record player if you were a rich man. Meow, 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 meow,
meow. Why are cats singing it? Thank you very much, David.
And for me, he got me the vinyl edition of Buttons from Champagne to Chicago, a collection of new wave and power pop songs from lesser known Illinois bands, and a pretty good documentary about the end of traditional animation at the Disney studios, made by an animator who witnessed it all from the inside. So thank you very much, David.
And I got to thank you, David, for not wrapping these up, because we've tried unwrapping gifts on the podcast before, and we are terrible at it.
That is true.
Thank you, David. This is a very generous gift.
Thanks, David. And anyone who sends us gifts, thank you very much. That's very sweet of you.
Yeah.
There's no need to send us gifts.
Even the gift of your time to listen to our show.
Yeah, listen to our show. That's
the biggest gift of all, is you.
For the greatest love of all is happening.
It's probably the most musical
us.
Episode we've ever had.
Not at all. not by far.
So
continue, Danworth.
Going into more normal letters. This is from Carl, last name withheld.
Junior.
I was giggling Barks. Along to episode 186, Guardians of the Highlands, when an offensive and shocking assertion was made by Elliot Kalin.
Yeah, yeah.
He falsely claimed
is it about local hero?
He falsely claimed that beside the beautiful Leatherman Cave, there's absolutely nothing to see in the great state of Connecticut. I'm certain Ellie did not mean to besmirch the Constitution State, the world's number one producer of constitutions, so I was prepared to let the matter go. But then I realized how much Elliot loves being corrected, so I prepared this short list of must-see places in my former home state.
Okay.
Number one.
How many of them are like hot dog stands?
There's going to be a nutmeg
field. I got hot dogs
field.
On the mind tonight, huh? What's going on with me?
You need to go eat a hot dog to get it out of your system.
Yeah. That's, you have like six of them in a row, and then you don't want them for a week, you know?
Yeah, but then
you need to go watch Hot Dog the movie.
Yeah, that's one of the six.
Go find a dog and heat it up.
That sounds terrible.
Not good for the dog. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. So here you go. The list of must-see places in Connecticut. Number one, the boyhood home of modernist composer Charles Ives.
Not interested.
Number two, the Danbury Railway Museum. Alfred Hitchcock filmed several scenes for Strangers on a Train on the station's distinctive curved platform.
Okay.
Number three, the P.T. Barnum Museum. Number four, the recently reopened Holy Land USA, an 18-acre biblical theme park as seen on The Daily Show. Number five, the homes of Mark Twain and Harriet Beecher Stowe. You can see all of these places and still have time to see the very spot where I lost my virginity.
Oh,
I know you're already planning your trip.
Tell us where that is. I assume the Leatherman Cave.
As we say in Connecticut, do you know a better way to drive from New York than Boston?
That's a very good state motto. Yeah, good point. Unless you have a hover car.
So,
thank you for correcting me on that. You can also go visit many of my relatives there.
Yeah.
For some reason, there's a Letterman joke that's not even that funny that has stuck in my head for years and years and years, which was state mottos. And the state motto he had for Connecticut was, "The middle sea is silent." So that's what I think of when I think of Connecticut.
That's like, Dan, do you remember when
you said Letterman, but I swore you said Leatherman.
Yeah,
David Leatherman.
He would
the
travel.
Hobo, late
hobo
night
talk show host. He'd travel from town to town interviewing celebrities.
Throwing watermelons off of buildings.
That reminded me of, Dan, do you remember when I created a logo for our detective agency? And it was going to be called Mystery Brothers Detective Agency. And the slogan was, "We're not really brothers."
Yeah. I like to think of a more beautiful world where we have a boy detective agency together.
Oh, I would love that. Yeah. We detect boys.
There's one. His name's Brahms.
So this next one is from Stan, last name withheld, who writes
Lee.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, true believers.
Hey, it's me. Eminem wrote a song about me.
I haven't doing a cameo in your podcast because I created you, maybe? I don't know. At this point, forget it. I don't remember.
So this letter goes, I was listening to the fourth top podcast about Def Leppard when host Stu Wellington mentioned he did some joke-em-ups here on your program. And since Till Death Do Us Party currently has no email, I have to contact this show to vent my displeasure.
Or a Twitter account.
Stu, Alex was right. How dare you sacrifice Hello America from On Through the Night?
Oh, weird. I got to go get a beer.
It's Proto Lep. Wait, you're being addressed here.
This is I don't know anything about this.
It defined what would be their future sound. Without it, there'd be no sugar to pour on anyone. The heartbreak would never be brought, and that lady over there who's acting pretty cool would always have love available for her to her, despite always playing the fool.
Yep.
Frankly, I expected more from a connoisseur of fine music. I'm sure Elliot would agree and join me in a bawdy rendition of Everything's All Right, I Call Judas. Thank you, Dan, for your time, attention, and MP3 program. Let's get rocked. Stan, last name with hell.
I'm going to go on the record of
putting
saying...
Put me in the hot seat over here.
I would side with Stuart in any Def Leppard-related thing, because I think I've heard maybe 3 Def Leppard songs. Mm-hmm. And most of what I know is from Stuart's podcast, so I have to rely on him.
Mm-hmm. And as it is the number 5 authority on historical Def Leppard information. Well, thank you, Stan. Those are some interesting but incorrect points. And since you can't refute what I'm saying now, I must be right.
Oh, boom, burn.
Very,
I'll bring it up with Alex, but Alex is probably right. That's why we call Alex Dr. Def on the program, because he has a doctorate in Def Leppard information.
Def Leppard studies.
Yeah.
For the last letter of the evening, it's from Alex, last name withheld.
Stu, I take issue with what you said on our podcast.
I recently discovered you after I finished a deployment. How I wish I had known 9 months earlier of your fantastic little show. Stuart is my spirit animal, by the way. Anyway, I know this isn't a book
I'm
cast.
A ghost?
That's not really what a spirit animal is. You're a Brahms.
Okay.
I know this isn't a book cast, but I noticed something was missing in a recent book to movie adaptation. In the book Unbroken by Laura Hillenbrand, there's a crazy part where a duck, parentheses Gaga, is violated in a POW camp and then killed. Of course, this is the only part of the book I wanted to be in the film. And as you can probably guess, it wasn't included in the movie. I know Angelina Jolie directed this movie, and I like to imagine her directing some dude in a World War II era uniform fucking a stuffed duck. Oh well.
No, wait, a stuffed duck?
It's stuffed with something. Oh, what is this? A Dame Edna show?
Sure.
Anyway, are there any scenes in a super? Are there any scenes in a super serious movie that seem ridiculous and out of place to you? Keep flopping. Alex's last name.
Well, I think we'd all point to the bear suit blowjob from The Shining as a major example of that.
There's nothing more horrifying than the idea of a bear suit giving a blowjob, I guess.
Maybe 30 years ago, but times have changed, Dan. That's awfully heteronormative of you.
Yeah, Dan.
Yeah,
how do you know those are male bears? Maybe that was a female bear. You never know.
Well, you couldn't see the bear teats hanging down underneath her udders or whatever.
Wow.
Okay, let's go back to the letter. I apologize. I shouldn't have brought it up. So this is a ridiculous scene in a serious movie?
Yeah.
You see a lot in old movies.
Every David Lynch movie.
Yeah. But it works for him usually. In a lot of old movies, it'll be a serious movie, but you'll have like a slapsticky character who's thrown in there. Oftentimes a person of color, because they were very racist back then. But I'm gonna keep going with bear suit blowjob because it's the scene where The Shining is a scary movie.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of scary scenes in it, and then suddenly this thing happens, and Shelley Duvall is so much more freaked out by it than anything else she's seen, and it's like, they're doing what works for them. Okay, don't judge them. It's out of the ordinary, but
maybe
still.
She's just really impressed by his technique.
Maybe
the bear. The
how does he move
bear.
In two directions at once? I don't understand. The other thing is, I never thought of this before. How many people who grew up to be furries had their first awakening while watching The Shining? Does it hold a special place in their hearts?
Yeah, it's probably maybe 1% The Shining, 99% Disney's Robin Hood.
That makes sense. Like a little bit Gizmo?
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit Gizmo, a little bit rock and roll.
Can you think of anything?
Not really. This is an incident of me being a bad producer, which is there was a question asked. And I could have thought about it.
Never ask a question you don't know ahead of the answer to.
You could have prepped it.
Well, think about it. Write your answers into flophouse@theflophousegmail.com, sir.
Yeah.
Well, what's the email address?
It's theflophousepodcast.com. Theflophousepodcast@gmail.com.
What's a goofy scene in a serious movie? Or what's a scene in a book that wasn't in the movie version that you wish was in there? And go to theflophousepodcast@gmail.com.
That's correct.
For your answers.
No, I have answers to this question, but they can't come to my tongue. They are blocked by my stupid brain.
Then let's talk about something we do know what we want to talk about, and that's our recommendations.
Oh, fucking A. I forgot to watch a movie.
Dan, do you have anything to recommend?
I got a couple things to recommend.
Oh, boy.
One of them can be mine.
just go, yeah, me too.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I was going to say. You stole mine.
We're going to do a double shot of Noah Baumbach here.
I don't recommend those.
I really liked Mistress America, which I caught on cable recently. It's got Greta Gerwig, who collaborated with Noah Baumbach on Frances Ha, which I liked quite a lot. I think Frances Ha is probably still a little bit better than Mistress America, but
Frances Ha, I think, might be my favorite Noah Baumbach movie, which is not saying that much.
I like him quite a lot, but he can
be some of his stuff.
He can be irritating, but. This movie, I think, is very entertaining. It's about we all know that kind of person who sort of constructs their life. You know, like they construct a persona, and Greta Gerwig's character,
like a sociopath,
is sort of this. You know, she bon vivant, like jack of all trades, like master of absolutely nothing. Who is living in New York and lives this, you know, like gadabout bohemian lifestyle and pretends to be a lot more together than she is, where she's sort of secretly falling apart inside. And she befriends sort of the lead character of the movie because their parents are going to get married and they're going to be sisters. And the lead character starts writing a story about her. And it's a question of, like, you know, artistic betrayal. Like, is it a betrayal for her to write this story about someone that she knows in real life and is putting a very honest eye on this character, or is that the way all art works? And it has a second act that is a long scene where they go on a trip to try and get some money out of a friend of Greta Gerwig's, so that Greta Gerwig can open a restaurant. And the scene plays out like a slow motion farce with characters being added all the time to this one house and entering and exiting rooms. And it's very funny in a way that I think is a little different for Noah Baumbach. It feels like a really, like, funny stage play for the second act of the movie. But also I want to recommend Noah Baumbach's documentary, De Palma, which I saw at the Angelica Film Center, the rattlinest from the subway movie theater there is.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything there in a long time.
Yeah, that's where I saw Snowpiercer. It was great.
But it's a fun movie. It's a trip through all of De Palma's movies, front to back, basically just Brian De Palma talking about his movies and then us seeing clips from them. And the thing is, like, in form, it's pretty boring. In form, it's basically just a glorified DVD extra, but it's a really good DVD extra.
Huh.
And I know people have mixed feelings about De Palma. Like, I don't like all of his stuff, and he's kind of hard to defend sometimes, but there's something about his willful perversity and, like, combined with great technical mastery that I respond to.
Yeah.
So,
He doesn't mind lingering on the, wait, Noah Baumbach or Brian De Palma?
Brian De Palma.
He doesn't mind lingering on the female form.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the things
like
that people
fact checked it right in the middle
of just
that.
Making sure.
That's one of the things people, criticize him for. He is the male gaziest of male gaze directors.
Uh-huh. That's for sure. Well, he's Hitchcock.
Yeah.
He wants to be Hitchcock, and Hitchcock was all about objectifying women in many ways. And De Palma can do it with nudity.
But if you want a jacked up, campy version of Hitchcock, then Brian De Palma's for you.
The documentary? Or just his movies?
Just his movies.
So you recommended a lot of movies right there, because he's had a very varied film
That's
career.
Right. Mm-hmm. I recommended the varied...
You recommended Snake Eyes.
Hugely up and down.
You recommended Snake Eyes.
Mm-hmm. There's good stuff in Snake Eyes.
Not too much. I'll recommend my movie. I'll try to do it quick. I'm going to recommend, hey, it's an old Japanese movie. What a surprise.
Oh, weird.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. I'm recommending it. I'm going to recommend a movie called The Face of Another, which maybe you guys have heard of. It's directed by Hiroshi Teshigahara, who's best known for Woman in the Dunes. And it stars Tetsuya Nakade, one of the greats of Japanese film. He was the emperor in Ron. He's in a ton of different Japanese movies. He's the star of one of my favorite Japanese movies, Kill. But in this, he plays a man who, it's from the mid-60s, he plays a man who, before the movie has started, has had his face horribly burned in an industrial accident. Mm-hmm. And this very morally dubious but kind of intellectually curious surgeon who specializes in prosthetic limbs that are meant to help cure mental conditions, he says, I'm going to make you the most lifelike face, but it's not going to look like your face. And you just have to watch out, because this face is going to turn you into a different person. And you're going to have to...
Spawn.
Kind of, yeah. And I want you to tell me everything that happens, because I want to see how your personality changes under this. And he starts to construct another life for himself, where he wears this false face. And the movie is kind of, in a way, about how difficult it is to escape the person that you are, and what kind of consequences it can have when you try to and can't quite accomplish it. And it's super creepy and tense. It's a weird movie, but it's really good. And it's called The Face of Another.
That sounds great. So, yeah, I totally just didn't realize I hadn't had a movie to recommend until just now. But a couple days ago, the actor Anton Yelchin died, which was a terrible, crazy accident. And he's an actor who I've really admired in a couple of movies, most recently Green Room. And
I don't
also
think I realized that he died. That's terrible.
And also the Fright Night remake, which was recommended by Dan on an earlier episode. So tonight I'm going to recommend a movie without Anton Yelchin, the original Fright Night, with Chris Sarandon as the sexiest vampire in the universe. And it is very similar to the remake, but it also, it is, I don't know, it manages to capture the kind of like the late night horror movie aesthetic of the 80s, while also being kind of sexy, even though it's got, they have Marcy from Married with Children as the like sexy mom character, and it totally works. And
Roddy McDowell in that movie.
And Roddy McDowell is amazing. Yeah.
It's a really great movie.
It's I think I came
did
to
you
that.
Mention Chris Sarandon?
I did, yeah. Okay. Right up at the top. He's amazing.
Yeah.
I would let him drink all of my blood. He can have my sweet young blood. And then bury me in the backyard. And so Fright Night, watch the remake and then watch the original, because they're both really great.
Yeah. Write a paper comparing and contrasting them and send it to us.
Yep, send it to us. Elliot will read it because he's got a ton of free time.
I've got nothing but free time, yeah.
We'll grade it. Why not? You know, if you want validation from someone,
mm-hmm.
You will not get course credit for it, though.
You will,
because this is not a course.
And we'll send it back to you and you'll be like, oh man, Stuart was tough but fair.
Yeah.
You know what? I was hoping he'd be more lenient, but I didn't deserve for him to be more lenient.
Yeah, that's the thing.
I can't really find fault with these, even though I'm upset about them.
Mm-hmm. And I kind of get off on being yelled at.
So this is really getting me going.
Yeah.
I mean, we're really trying to lure you into a school role play here.
Mm-hmm. Yep. This is one of the Persona series. That's a JRPG, Dan.
JRPG?
Yep, Japanese role playing.
Junior.
Nope, yep, Junior Bacon Cheeseburger.
All right, well, guys, this has been fun. We've had a few laughs.
Yeah,
wrap
you
it
love
up. We've had summarize a few.
So before we totally wrap this up, I just want to say, guys, my bar finally fucking opened.
Oh,
yay!
Yeah.
My bar. By the time you hear this,
Hinterlands. Hinterlands.
We all did it.
Hinterlands.
So my bar, Hinterlands, is
what's the address?
It's 739 Church Avenue in Brooklyn.
739 Church Avenue,
and, Brooklyn, New York.
By the time this episode airs, Rated we'll R. have just had our grand opening, but. Please come down and visit. I'm going to be there a lot, but I don't know exactly when my regular days are going to be. And I got to say that I got to say thanks for the podcast, guys, because it really helped me get through a kind of a pretty difficult like 2 year process.
That was a rough process, and it took a long time. And
yeah, it was really difficult, but yeah. So it's open finally, and the neighborhood's really coming is really supportive, and our friends are all super supportive, and I'm pretty happy with how it's turned out so far.
And you know what? I think I speak for Dan when I say we're proud of you.
Well, thanks, man. Hopefully Elliot will come down, and we're gonna get fucking twisted.
Oh, every night.
Yeah, yeah.
That's gonna be my new hangout place.
That's gonna be kind of the new role you take. Like, you've always been kind of like a troubled writer type, and now you can be more like a Charles Belushi type.
That's, I guess, a mix of Charles Bukowski and John Belushi, which is not that different.
Mm-hmm. Then you become Jim Belushi.
Yeah, I've always been kind of like a straightforward, square family man, middle of the road,
mm-hmm.
your classic white bread, cisgender male, you know, whatever. But I'm going to start...
A real chicken pot pie of a person.
love chicken pot pie, and yes, I don't know what that means for sure. Fill me with peas and carrot slices and little pearl onions.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to now...
Aww. What a name for someone. Little Pearl Onion.
It's like a comedian at a knockoff of Hee Haw.
Yeah.
Like, Len Little Pearl Onions. But now that the bar's open, I'm going to be there every night, drink until it closes and beyond. My life's going to fall apart. My career's going to fall apart. My family's going to fall apart until...
But you're going to look terrific.
People aren't even going to recognize me because I'm going to look so great from all the drinking, no sleep that I'm doing.
Gin Blossoms, yes, please.
Yeah, play them.
Yeah, play all their tracks.
My favorite band.
Oily and Bloated.
I can't remember any of their songs, but play it. Come on.
Yep.
Do that till I hear it from you song? No,
yeah, I think they
else.
Sing the... that flagpole sitter song, ba ba da ba doo ba da ba doo ba doo ba da ba doo boo da.
Wait, no, that's someone else.
Do they sing that song about how there's no rain?
I'm a stinker tonight, guys. They didn't sing any of those songs.
They didn't do the Friends theme, even though that's what I think of when I think of them.
So, send all Gin Blossoms song lyrics and titles to @DankMcCoy.
No.
He loves dank memes.
At Twitter.
I don't want them.
@DankMcCoy.
@DankMcCoy Twitter. Send him some Gin Blossoms stuff.
So
you can send me some dank memes, but don't send me anything about the Gin Blossoms.
You know what he really wants? You know the Minions?
Yeah.
Do some Minions memes.
Oh, yeah.
God,
Minions memes that use lyrics from Gin Blossoms songs.
I just talked about how I eat my dinners of the sink sometimes.
Yeah, time to take you down a notch.
Oh, okay.
Too real.
Back
okay.
in my life again. So, for the Flophouse Podcast, I've been Stuart Wellington.
I've been Dan McCoy.
And I'm a doll named Elliot. Surprise, Elliot Kane lives on the walls.
Good night, everyone.
Bye. This is going to be fucking amazing.
So let's try to keep it taut and tight this time. There's not a lot of plot in this movie, so that'll help.
Mm-hmm.
Tautness isn't the issue so much as the comedy. That's what we need, comedy.
Yeah, but I think let's not
be sleepy.
I'll try my best.
Let's fucking spin it.
You're already in your pajamas, so you're already failing on part of that account. You're not even wearing waking day clothes.
Waking day?
Yeah.
Yep. So the sequel to Waking Life.
It sounds like something from a fantasy novel. Today is your waking day.
Mm-hmm. Now we determine which battle class you are a member of.
You will stop wearing the pajamas of youth. MaximumFun.org/donate.
Okay, what's the next part of this podcast?
The next part of the podcast is where we take a few moments to answer letters from listeners.
Oh, man.
You need a...
Yeah, I'm going to get a little refresher.
All right. Mr. John Hodgman is going to go get another...
I just realized I got to get more than my piece of chicken out.
That reminds me, while he's getting up, that we might want to take a few moments right now... Take a few moments, the three or four of us, to listen to the letters, to think about them and really give a good reply. Maybe something that might change some lives. Maybe something that'll get us high fives when we meet the writer of the letter in person. In person. Are you saying there's a chance that I could meet the flop ass? Probably not. Well, Stuart, yes, because he works in a public place. He's got time on his hands.
Probably be there too.
But Elliot's kind of a mysterious sort. A recluse, they say, back in his lair. He hates the sunlight, hates the light of the moonlight of any kind, natural air. The laughter, the smiles, it strikes him like spikes and like poison. Don't expect to meet him. But Stuart and Dan, sure, why not? And you'll tell him, thanks for reading my letter on the Flophouse tonight. This letter song is brought to you by me wasting time.
That's how it works.
That's how it works.
So
Dan, do we have some letters or should I sing another song for reals?
No, I've got it. So this first letter.
Okay, I'm back. Okay. Hang on before you read the letter. I just wanted to say... What did I miss is the name of a song from the popular musical Hamilton, but it also describes the question I have, because I was in the kitchen when something happened. Did someone sing a song? I hope I didn't miss a song.
Song is song. It counts.
The abrupt ending.
Did somebody say that they missed the song? It seemed Candyman awakened from my ancient slumber to sing another number about letters and writing and letters from us to you, from you to us, from them to them, from all to all.
But Elliot, do I actually have to write a letter to a stranger? I don't want to do it. I have problems with expressing myself.
That's understandable and something we might need to work on. You're a great guy, you should be confident in your abilities. But no, because the strangers have written to us. They're strangers, but there's no dangers, because it's through a letter. Unless they figured out some way to kill with words, probably not. So let's read this letter from Chris, last name withheld. They said it was timely, but why? But how? We'll get the answers to those questions when the song comes to its end. Right now.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture. Artist owned.
Listener supported.
Hi, I'm Mark.
And I'm Hal, and we're the hosts of We Got This,
the show that offers definitive answers to dumb debates that you suggest.
Every Wednesday, we discuss the hot-button topics you never knew you cared so much about, like whether you should put ketchup on a hot dog.
What's the best Star Wars movie?
Whether it's better to be too hot or too cold.
Coke or Pepsi?
Best Marvel movie.
Which is the best religion?
I told you we're not doing that one.
So join us every week on MaximumFun.org, and don't worry, everyone. We got this.
We got this.